Okay, so let's turn to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John, chapter 1. We're going to read verses 1 to 18. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There came a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify about the light, so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. There was the true light, which, coming into the world, enlightens every man. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh, and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified about him and cried out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has a higher rank than I, for he existed before me.' For of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has explained him." Let's pray. Father, we worship you and praise you, O God. Lord, we just praise you and thank you for Jesus, who has come into the world. And even at this time of the year, where we celebrate Christmas, we're reminded of that very thing, that you came. You, Lord, came into the world, took upon yourself our nature, and you brought about salvation. Lord, we worship you and praise you, O God, for all that you've done in the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless us even now in him. Warm our hearts. Send to us, Lord, by your Holy Spirit, the truth of Jesus, that we might be blessed. Lord, indeed, we are sinners. And our life is full of all sorts of things that, Lord, are a cause of sorrow or worry or things that trouble us, burdens that we bear, sins that we struggle. Lord, we are in the midst of a warfare. We are weary, we are tired, we are needy. Oh God, we are weak in ourselves. Thank you, O Lord, for Jesus, who gives us every good reason to praise God, to worship you, to be refreshed, to be helped. Lord, bless us now. Show us how wonderful you are again. Lord, draw close to us and through your word, and bless us in him. Oh, Father, we pray that you might save souls, that you might speak to the hearts of people, that they might be drawn to Christ, that they would believe upon Jesus and be saved, and that, Lord, that you'd revive us in your word and give to us truth and bless us, oh, Lord. Oh, Lord, bless us so. We do give thanks. We worship you and praise you, oh, God, and we ask now your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. It is a cause of joy for us to consider again at this time of the year the things that, you know, surround Christmas, the coming of Jesus into the world. And here we have in the Gospel according to John, this very beginning that talks about Jesus. And now you may have noticed, I should mention that in the last verse, verse 18, that I said only begotten Son. That actually is what's in the original Byzantine text. It doesn't say only begotten God. God is never begotten. God is never created. And there have been some misunderstandings by theologians over the years. And rest assured and understand and know that the original Greek text, the Byzantine text, does say only begotten Son. And that actually marries up with other passages of scriptures. We won't turn there, but I just wanted to mention that. Now, first of all, looking here at the Gospel of John chapter 1, it starts with laying out the deity of Christ. Who is Jesus? And when we celebrate Christmas and we remember the fact that Jesus came into the world, who was this one who came? And it says here in verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So in this very first verse, the final emphasis is upon understanding that the Word, who is the Lord Jesus Christ, was God. And we find that it says here, He was in the beginning with God. Now, this statement, in the beginning, should immediately bring to our attention Genesis. Genesis chapter 1. If you turn over to Genesis, the very first book of the Bible, in the very first chapter, it says here, Genesis 1 and verse 1, in the beginning, there's that phrase, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And how did God create the heavens and the earth? It says that while the earth was formless and void and darkness was over the surface of the deep, the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. So John is writing and he's saying that, you know, in the beginning was the Word, and that the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So what we have here is a way of referring to God by something that He's doing. He is the very one speaking. It's not some angel that's speaking on behalf of God. It's not something else. It is God Himself. And so from the very beginning, God spoke. And in Genesis 1, you have this repeated emphasis upon God speaking. So we find verse 3, then God said. Verse 6, then God said. Verse 9, then God said. Verse 11, then God said. Verse 14, and it says also that same thing in verse 20. Also verse 24, verse 26. And then if you turn the page there, you'll find it in verse 29 again. And the end result of God speaking here, this emphasis, then God said, which is the Word, right? The Word speaking. Verse 31, God saw that all that He had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. So in Genesis chapter 1, you have this emphasis where God, in the beginning, created. And what He created resulted in that which was good. But it was through the medium of God speaking. You know, God didn't have to do that. God didn't have to speak, right? He can just think these things. He can, out of nothing, create things. But it was to demonstrate for us that we might know and understand something really, really important. Because God is the source of truth in every blessing. And that when God speaks, He gives to us His Word. Now, coming back to the Gospel of John, chapter 1, John is wanting you and I to be able to rightly understand who Jesus is. Because here people in Galilee were going about their business, and they heard about this man, Jesus, who had come. And what was happening? Jesus was sitting, right? It says in Matthew 5, He sat down, and opening His mouth, He began to speak to His disciples. And at the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount, it says that everyone was in awe. For He was not teaching them as one of the scribes, but He was speaking with authority. And so at various times and places, people were coming to know, who is this man Jesus? Whether He was sitting in a boat and His voice reflected there off the waters, or He sat up on the temple, you know, the top of the mountain there and the Sermon on the Mount, or whether He was in the temple and He was teaching the people. Wherever Jesus was, what was happening? Jesus was communicating. Jesus was saying something. Jesus has a message for you and I to be saved by. And John wants you and I to understand who Jesus is. He is the self-same God who spoke at creation in the beginning. It was Him who spoke. God said, God said, God said. He made a separation between light and darkness. And everything He did and all the different things of creation, the end result was what? It was good. So we're to understand, who is Jesus? He's the Word. Now you might think, well, why the Word? It sounds so impersonal. I mean, isn't He just Jesus? Why not just say the Son of God? Again, we still, even now, we have the Word of God in written form. This is the Word of God. And this is how you and I can have an interaction with Jesus. You and I can also participate in the wonderful truth of the gospel. So at creation, God speaks. Jesus comes into the world, and he spoke. And you and I could read the Bible, the Word of God, and receive the same blessing, the same transforming power. So it starts with opening up, who is Jesus? It's referred to as the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So we even have a Trinitarian understanding here, because we understand God is a Trinity of persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that the Word is not the Father, but the Word was with the Father. He was with God. And that's borne out in 1 John, in the small epistles of John, chapter 1, talks about the eternal life, which was with the Father, the Word of life. So the Trinity is here. We find that there's a distinction between the Word and God the Father, and yet we also see that the Scriptures clearly teach that the Word is God. And again, it emphasizes in verse 2, he was in the beginning with God. Notice this, verse 3. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. That's a very clear statement that Jesus is God. I mean, think about it. Think in your mind, if you were to sort of spatially think, here's all the things that have come into being, right? Anything created, all things that have come into being. Well, where is Jesus? Is he in that lump? No. In fact, it says, apart from him, nothing has come into being but through him. It's through Jesus that all the things that came into being, all the things that were created, have occurred because of what? Because of Jesus, which means what? He didn't come into being. Do you see that? Jesus, all things came into being through him. The category of all things that are finite, all things that are temporal, all things that are created, doesn't include him, because apart from him, that's how they came to be. He is separate from that. Nothing that has come into being without Jesus. And Jesus, it's not saying that Jesus created himself. No, he's the one who is the instrumentality. He is the creator of all things. He is God. This very one who is the Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, has created everything. Anything that's ever been created, Jesus created it. Verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Again, this is showing you and I that Jesus is God. And it's for you and I to understand that the Word of God we read is from Jesus. In the beginning, God spoke the Word. When Jesus walked on the earth, he spoke the Word, and now we have in the written form here the Word of God. And why is it so good for us? Because in him was life. In God is life. God alone is the source of life. And notice here, it says here, and you get this feel of source here, in him was life, right? The very source of life in Jesus, and the life was the light of men. The life was the light of men. You think about light. You know, a beautiful sunny day, and you look on the valley or something, or you see the golden sunlight from the sun hitting the trees and the grass, and so beautiful, right? Well, where did that light come from, right? We know it comes from the sun. See, light in itself, isn't it interesting how God's created light? Light is something you see and you appreciate, and it's beautiful, but it comes from a source. Light is always coming from somewhere. Right? God himself is life. God is the source of that light. You see the progression there in verse 4? In him was life, and the life was the light of men. So the reason why you and I can read the Scriptures, the reason why someone might sit on a hill there in Galilee and listen to this carpenter, this man, and he's speaking the words of life, or when, if we could be there at creation in the beginning, and God says, let there be light, right? And that these words are not more than just, they're so much more than just words. It's directing us to what? The very source of all life. In him was life. And in him, that life, that was the light of men. So, but there's a problem. There's a problem here. Verse 5, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. right? The sinful world that we are in, there's darkness. And God created the heavens and the earth there in Genesis 1. He first of all says that he created the heavens and the earth, but he created it in a state of darkness. Why would he do that? Why didn't he just make everything perfect all at once? And why does he do all these days of creation in which he's constantly making these separations? And God said, and God said, and God said, and he keeps making these separations. He makes a separation between light and darkness on the first day. Then he makes a separation between the expanse, the waters above the expanse and the water below, and there's a separation. Then he separates the dry land from the waters, and he keeps making these separations. And then on the fourth day, he actually creates the physical light of the sun, the moon, and the stars, and he separates the light from the day like that. And there's all these separations. God's showing that the creation, he was pointing to the fact that the creation was going to be under this darkness, right? Sin existed, and God's ultimate purpose is to make a separation between good and evil. And so when God sends the Son into the world, Jesus comes. He comes with a message, with powerful words, and the ultimate end is that there's a separation between that which is good and that which is evil. So, there's this problem. The light is shining, and there's darkness, and the darkness doesn't comprehend it. Men who are embroiled in sin, and they're estranged from God, they don't want Jesus' word. In fact, you see this in John chapter 3. If you turn over to John 3 in verse 19. It says in John 3 in verse 19, "This is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light. Why? For their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. For he who practices the truth comes to the light so that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God." So if already we're estranged from God and we're dead in our sins and, you know, the flesh recoils, the people want to hide from God. Remember how Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden? And what did they do when God came? They immediately hid themselves. They were ashamed. Sin brings condemnation. Sin brings distance and separation. And death itself, which is the wages of sin, what is death? Death is just separation. Whether you experience the first death, where your body separates from your soul, right? The soul separates from the body, that's the first death. Well, the last death is hell, where the resurrected person is put into hell, and there's death. The second death is separation from the presence of God. See, remember, God is the source of all life. Just like you look over the field and you see the sun, right? Where does that sunlight come from? It comes from the sun. God in creation has, in a physical way, portrayed you and I this image of God being the source of life. Okay? But the problem is, men love darkness. We'll come back to that in a little bit. Let's just quickly go through the rest of this chapter here a little bit. We have verse 6, "There came a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify about the light so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to testify about the light." So John the Baptist came as one to bear witness to Jesus. And if you look over at verses, 19 to 23, because the people asked him, he says in the verse 19, it says, "This is the testimony of John. And when the Jews sent to him priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask, 'Who are you?' And he confessed and did not deny, but confessed, 'I am not the Christ.' And they said, 'Well, who are you? Are you a prophet?' And he said, 'No.' Then they said, 'Well,'" verse 22, "'who are you? So that we may give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself, John?'" Right? "He said, 'I am a voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord.'" John was a prophet, yes, but what was his calling? What was his purpose? He was to prepare the way for the Lord. Again, this is another statement showing you what? Jesus is God. Who's the Lord in the Old Testament? The God of Israel. John the Baptist came to prepare a way for the Lord himself. Now, turn over to Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40. You see, God's word is a blessing for you and I. God's word brings salvation brings a word of hope for you and I. And in chapter 40 of Isaiah, we find that reflected. And this is what John was preparing. And he says here, "Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Speak kindly to Jerusalem and call out to her that her warfare has ended, that her iniquity has been removed, that she will receive of the Lord double for all her sins." Meaning, you'd think your sins would result in condemnation, but the Lord's going to give you double blessing. He's going to give you, in exchange for all your sins, a double portion. But you see, this is the message of the gospel. God has done it. God's speaking kindly to us. The warfare is ended. The iniquity has been removed. That's what it's all about Jesus coming into the world. This is why when God in creation makes these separations and everything the results about is good, this is the same word that the people heard in Galilee as they sat upon the mount and Jesus spoke to them words of comfort, words of blessing that you and I can know that he's going to accomplish our salvation. He's doing it all. Jesus provides for you and I complete salvation. And so it says in verse 3, the calling of John the Baptist, a voice is calling, "Clear the way for the Lord in the wilderness. Make smooth in the desert a highway for our God." A highway for our God. "Let every valley be lifted up and every mountain and hill be made low. And let the rough ground become a plain and a rugged terrain. In the rugged terrain, a broad valley." You see again, what did John do? John came to prepare a way to make smooth, to make level a place for Jesus to come. "Then the glory of the Lord will be revealed." Not some glory of an angel or some super spiritual person. The glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all flesh will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, "Call out." Then he answered, "What shall I call out? All flesh is grass, and all its loveliness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, when the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass." You know, again, this whole thing about the light shines in the darkness, and again, there's this problem. We're frail, we're weak, we're needy. All of us, as the very best, are like flat, like grass, a flower that fades, a flower that appears beautiful, but then just withers and falls away. Verse 8, "The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever." So again, remember, Jesus is the word. He speaks to us the living words. John the Baptist came preparing a way for us, and the contrast is between the futility of our nature and the lost state of our nature, but the enduring power of the word of God. Now, again, verse 9, there's this message, this burden by Isaiah, "Get yourself up on a high mountain, O Zion, bearer of good news." Again, there's a message, "Lift up your voice mightily, O Jerusalem, bearer of good news. Lift it up, do not fear, say to the cities of Judah," what? "Here is your God." Jesus is God. When Jesus comes, he is the very word of God speaking to us. And this is what we have in the Holy Scriptures. And what is that message? "Behold, the Lord God," verse 10, "will come with might, with his arm ruling for him. Behold, his reward is with him and his recompense before him." How are you and I going to respond to the word of God that Jesus speaks? You see, there's going to be judgment if we don't respond rightly. But the message is good. "Like a shepherd, he will tend his flock. In his arm, he will gather the lambs and carry them in his bosom. And he will gently lead the nursing ewes." Again, the message is comfort. The message is salvation. The message is Jesus is going to carry you. Jesus is going to save you. Jesus is going to deliver you from the darkness. And yet people, they love the darkness. They don't want to run to Jesus, into his arms. They don't want that. So here we have this man, John, who comes and he prepares the way for the Lord. And what was John doing? He was doing a baptism of repentance, right? Helping the people to see their sins. Because if your heart is full of sin, how can you then even begin to hear the words of peace coming from Jesus' lips? So again, John himself was not the light there. It says very clearly in John 1, verse 9, it says, "There was the true light, which coming into the world enlightens every man. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him." He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. You see, Jesus is that true light, that source of revelation for all of us. And there isn't a person that isn't in some way touched by the truth of Jesus Christ. Isn't it interesting that people who are not saved, they will take the name of the Lord in vain? Why? They're not a Christian. They don't have anything to do with Jesus. But they know in their hearts the revelation has been accomplished. Jesus has come into the world. It is known the Lord Jesus Christ has come, and he enlightens every man. There is a measure of truth that's given to all. And yes, he's the one who was in the world. He made the world. And yet the world did not know him. Again, there's this problem, there's this darkness. Even to his own, to the Jewish people, Jesus comes, and they did not receive him. But how imperative this is. How sad this is. How tragic that Jesus comes into the world, and they did not receive him. Those who said, oh, we're the sons of God by being descendants of Abraham. And yet John the Baptist says, from these stones, remember the River Jordan, from these stones God is able to raise up children to Abraham. You see, when Jesus comes into the world, and if you receive Jesus, what's the end result? You become a child of God. You see verse 12? But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. You see, if you receive Jesus, you then become a child of God. You enter into the fellowship with God. Now, how has this come to pass? Because the Word has become flesh. Verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. How you and I can become a child of God is because Jesus came into the world, took upon himself our flesh. Remember, we're all created in the image of God, but with the fall, we then became sons and daughters of the devil. We became lost. We became separated from God. Therefore, it was necessary for Jesus to come into the world to take upon himself our flesh. He has, in that sense, become a son of God in a human sense. He has become a son of man. And as such, he then creates the way for you and I to be saved. But when we see this one who becomes flesh, the Word of God, and he dwells among us, what do we behold? The glory as of the only begotten. What does that mean? The only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. He alone makes known the very person of God. The only begotten means there's no other begotten created person who is God himself in the flesh. That's what it means. Only begotten is meaning his incarnation. That's an important word for Christmas, incarnation. He's the only one who's incarnate. Jesus is the only one who in human flesh is God. That's what it means to be only begotten. And that's why verse 18 says, only begotten Son. You mustn't say only begotten God. God is never begotten. God doesn't have a beginning. Right? Remember we saw in verse 3, all things came into being through Jesus, and nothing that's ever come into being came into being without him. Right? God didn't create himself. His deity is not begotten. Jesus' deity is not created. The idea that Jesus didn't exist at some point is totally false. No, Jesus was with God in the beginning, and Jesus was God. Now, the begotten is his flesh. The Word became flesh, the only begotten, the only one who's created in the flesh, who is God, is Jesus. And what do we find? He is full of grace and truth. Now, notice this. Notice this here, this grace and truth, verse 14, full of grace and truth. And this will help us to understand just why the Word of God is so wonderful. The very Word that was spoken to creation, the very Word that people would hear on the hills of Galilee or wherever they were at that time and they saw Jesus in the flesh speaking to them, the very words that you can read in the Bible, full of grace and truth. And it says here in verse 16, for of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. And then also verse 17, contrasting with Moses, that the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth, again, here's that phrase, grace and truth came to be or were realized through Jesus Christ. You see, the Word of God is so wonderful because it's what? It's grace and truth coming from God, who is the source of life. You have this, it's like the golden light upon the field. Here you have this light in the Word of God, the Scriptures before you, and it is grace and truth. Do you realize there would be no grace in truth, grace and truth in this world if Jesus hadn't come? We celebrate Christmas, and that the tree is so lovely, right? And it's symbolic of the tree of life, and there are lights upon it, and the star upon the top, because, you know, that it led them to where Jesus was born, and all these symbols and everything, it all celebrates the joy of Christmas. Jesus came into the world. Grace and truth now is known. Look at verse 18. No one has seen God at any time. No one ever has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, He has explained Him. You see, the Word makes known to you and I God in all of His glory. So what does that mean? Would you know this grace and truth? Would you know this God who Jesus is in the very bosom of? He is in personal relationship with God the Father. Would you know this God? Would you know His Word? Yes, it's by reading God's Word. It's by receiving it. Let's look at some scripture verses that talk about God's Word. Turn over to 1 Thessalonians. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Paul writes to the Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians actually chapter 2, sorry. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. Paul says, "For this reason we also constantly thank God that when you received the Word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but for what it really is, the Word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe." You see, the Christian is someone who is receiving God's Word for what it really is, the Word of God. And it does what? It works a work in you that cannot be worked unless you believe in that Word. You have to have faith in the Word of God. And when you have faith in the Word of God, it powerfully performs its work in you. But keep in mind the contrast, the problem, the darkness, and how men love the darkness, and they want to go away from the light. Well, do not respond to God's Word that way. Do not love the darkness. Do not run away from it. Look at Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, another wonderful scripture verse, communicating the Word of God, communicating what is the Word of God. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, it says, "For the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart." You see, the Word of God is living. The very self-same Word which God spoke into creation, and everything that He did, God said, and it resulted in that which is good. This very Word that Jesus spoke to the people, in which they marveled at His words, because He spoke with authority. This very Word that you have before you in the pages of the Holy Scriptures is living. And it pierces to the very depths of our souls. Is there an illness within you? Are you ill? Are you sick because of the burden of sin? Do you have some difficulty in your life, some burden, something? What is the answer? What is the solution? It is the Word of God which can go to the very depths of your heart. It's as like you're being pierced by this sword very much to the soul of your heart. And it can help you to understand what's going on in the mess that is in your life. But again, people hide. They want to run away. Look at verse 13 of Hebrews 4. "And there is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of Him with whom we have to do." Again, people run away and hide. They run away from God, and they want to hide from the light. They don't want to have dealings with God. But do not think that you can go anywhere from God. Turn over to Jeremiah Turn to Jeremiah chapter 23. Again, you know, the Word of God. The Word of God is powerful. The Word of God is the answer for the problems that you and I face in our lives. And how are you responding to God's Word? So in Jeremiah chapter 23, God says about His Word, you know, verse 29 of Jeremiah 23, "Is not my Word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer which shatters a rock?" There is no fire like God's Word, and there is no powerful hammer like God's Word. This very Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. This very Word is God-breathed. It comes from the very mouth of God. It is a fire. It is a hammer. It is power. Paul says in Romans 1, he says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation." Look at verse 24 here of Jeremiah 23. "Can a man hide himself in hiding places so that I do not see him, declares the Lord? Do I not fill the heavens and the earth, declares the Lord?" If you even go backwards here and look at verse 23, "Am I a God who is near, declares the Lord, and not a God far off?" Meaning, I am close. God is not far away from you or I. And so Paul says in Romans 10, in verse 8, he talks about how the Word is near you. It is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. The Word of faith with Word preaching to you. The Word of God comes to you close. God is not far away. You cannot hide from God. His Word is powerful. Remember when Jesus was facing temptation with the devil? And he quoted Deuteronomy 8. Turn over to Deuteronomy 8. Remember, Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness. And the Satan said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones that they might be turned into bread." Because, you know, Jesus had been fasting and he was so hungry. He'd been fasting for 40 days. He was burdened with hunger. He was so hungry. And Satan tempts him. He says, "Turn these stones, if you're the Son of God, turn these stones into bread." And Jesus quotes Deuteronomy 8. In which we read in verse 3, "He humbled you," God says to the people of Israel. "He humbled you and let you be hungry and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Jesus says, "Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." God created the heavens and the earth with the Word of God. And Jesus is the Word made manifest in the flesh. Jesus himself, as a man, as he then subjected himself to being a man, responds to the devil and he fulfills all that a man should be. And he says, "No, I live because of the Word of God. Man shall not live on bread alone, but on everything that proceeds out of the mouth of God." How is it with you? Jesus came into the world to this end. We celebrate Christmas to what end? That you have God's Word. But again, where are you? Are you in the darkness? Are you hiding from God? Are you running from God? Are you loving the darkness more than God's Word? You cannot run away from God. You cannot hide from God. Your soul needs His Word. You need that which proceeds out of the mouth of God. What can we liken this to? Turning back to John 1. Here in John 1, we're reading about how Jesus is the Word. He came into the world. The Word became flesh. We're beholding the glory of God. And what is this Word? It's full of grace and truth. And yet the darkness did not comprehend it. No one else can make known to you God but Jesus. No one else can give you grace and truth but Jesus. But are you loving the darkness? What can we compare this to, I say? Isn't it like suicide? It's like a form of suicide. You know, suicide is so horrible. And there's even people who commit suicide at the time of Christmas because they sense their loneliness. They sense all these things. And they see other people together and they feel their loneliness. And it's so tragic. There's so many people that commit suicide at this time of the year. But you know what? Shutting out God's Word from your life is like committing suicide. Your soul needs God's word. Are you killing yourself? Are you killing yourself because you do not go to God's word? Do you love the darkness instead? You're killing yourself. It's suicide. You need God's word. And Satan wants you to kill yourself. And now, what's the solution for even suicide that's happening time and time again today? What's the solution for maybe why you might say, oh, I feel so dull in regards to God's word. I don't want to read God's word. That's why Jesus came into the world, to give life, that you might have his word and be saved. What's the solution? Well, if we talk about actual suicide, sure, there are people who commit suicide, and we can understand it because of some physiological problem, like maybe they got a tumor, right? Or there's some problem with them physically, and they're not themselves. That could be perhaps, you know, we could excuse that, right? A person who commits suicide because they turns out they had this tumor and they were not themselves, as I said. But if you're just bailing out of life, you're rejecting the fact that God has made you in his image, you're going to hell if you commit suicide. Don't listen to some death pastor who tells you that you can be saved when you commit suicide. You're made in the image of God. And if you think you can just waltz into heaven, having just destroyed that which you are, made in the image of God, and now think you can go into heaven, no, murderers shall not inherit eternal life. Don't ever listen to Satan who tells you, oh, just commit suicide. You will go to hell if you commit suicide. Don't ever listen to that lie. And again, what's the solution? What's the answer? What should you do with that thought of committing suicide? What's the answer? Faith and repentance. Repent of that thought. Lord, forgive me for thinking about committing suicide. So also, what's the solution with suicide in regards to not going to God's word, not feeding upon God's word, not killing yourself by running away from God? This sort of spiritual suicide of not being into the God's word, the answer is what? Faith and repentance. God, forgive me for not hungering for your word. Lord, forgive me. I believe that your word is true. I believe that you created the heavens and the earth and that Jesus said, let there be light, and there was light, and it was good. I believe that when Jesus spoke to the people of Galilee, he was giving them the true words of God and that they're full of grace and truth. I believe that this is the true word of God. And I believe that I'm going to only know about grace and truth. I'm going to only be able to come to know God through Jesus and his word. Forgive me for my lack of faith. Cleanse me. So go to God in faith and repentance. You see, Jesus came into the world as a matter of life and death. Your life and death. Jesus came into the world to save you from death. And his words are words of life for you, that you might be saved. Your soul needs his word. There is nothing else we have. There is nothing else that we can get grace and truth from. Now, we're to speak the truth in love. In love. And, you know, it's a horrible thing when pastors say, oh, I don't believe in depression. Depression is real. People struggle and they're so downcast and they're so lonely and there's so many problems. And we're to speak the truth in love, but say, truly, my friend, do not commit suicide because you will go to hell. The answer to your problem, my dear friend, is faith and repentance. So also, if you struggle with God's word and you want to run away from it, you find that the world's so much more interesting. To speak the truth in love is the right thing, dear one. You need God's word. You're going to perish unless you have God's word in your heart and you are transformed by Jesus. The answer in love is faith and repentance. God will bless you. God will give you his word, and you will see that indeed it is wonderful. So, here this time of Christmas, Jesus has come into the world. And what do we find? The very one who is the Word of God has come and dwelt among us. And we're beholding the very glory of God. This is the very one who is grace and truth. He's the source of light in every blessing. Go to Jesus. Read his word. Believe in Jesus. Otherwise, you're in the darkness. You're in the darkness and you're just killing yourself. No, go to Jesus who can heal you and bless you and give you every good thing. And remember, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Let's believe in Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you that he alone is our hope of salvation. Lord, help us to trust and believe in him and not to go to the darkness, but to go to him, the true light. O Lord, we worship you and praise you, and we ask now your blessing. Deliver us, O Lord, from darkness. Deliver us, Lord, from every lie of the devil, and bless us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we worship you, we praise you, we love you, we adore you. Bless us and heal us in Jesus, we pray. Amen.